This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hey, it's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are locked in. All right, you can tell Chris Arnold is riding shotgun and planting the flag.
Got you down.
We have winning time coming up. Three winning times here in the first 3 hours of the show. Your chance to win $1,000 in this Turn It On, Leave It On contest on 105.3 The Fan. Mike Bassick, Lucius Alexander, myself, Gavin Dossett, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation. How you doing, Mike?
A little sick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been, as the day's gone on, I keep feeling weaker and weaker, and now I have issues in the bathroom.
Issues that might require Pepto-Bismol?
Bubble guts? You got bubble guts?
That type of developing situation?
But like my, I feel weak.
Oh, no.
Do you have what Sean Shreve has?
I don't know.
He's out.
I don't sit in the same seat. So we are in, you know, the same room that he was in yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if whatever Sean has, I actually have it. I mean, maybe... I don't think germs can last that long, can they? Like 5 hours later, you come into a room person was in.
Yeah, I think once they're airborne there for a little bit, they're going to be dead before too long. But
I mean, I'm excited about sports.
Okay, well, that's just good. You don't have a fever or anything, do you?
I don't know.
Wow.
You're just sneezing from your butt back there, buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, we do have a very interesting day of sports. Obviously, the Cowboys are in the middle of a game week, and they're trying to get healthy and do everything they can to make sure they can take care of business against the Jets, and we'll talk about that. But we have Mavericks basketball tonight as the preseason is going to get underway.
The real preseason.
Yeah.
I watched a little last night.
Yeah, and I think that was probably a little bit disappointing for quite a few folks. It was an ugly game. I think 54 fouls and 30 different players scored. So it was kind of like, who's this guy and who's that guy and a bunch of guys that aren't even going to make the roster coming out of training camp. But tonight it's going to be a different story because Kristaps Porzingis' debut, and it's going to be at 6 o'clock, so it'll be going down in the final hour of our broadcast. And it is silly to get fired up for preseason games, but when it's a debut of somebody with the potential to transform an organization, it's fun and it's worth getting hyped up for.
Yeah, the last 2 years we've gotten lucky. We had Luka last year to get excited about in preseason basketball, and now we have Porzingis and Luka together to get excited about. So yeah, I am definitely, we'll be up here, but I'm definitely going to watch pretty much every second that Luka and Porzingis are on the court just to see what it kind of looks like.
I think people love projection of the sport. They love potential. It goes back to team building, drafts, fantasy, analytics. People love young and upcoming. For the last 5 years, the Dallas Mavericks were trotting out old head veteran free agents to surround Dirk and maybe sneak into the playoffs. Right now, you have a young squad that has upside. And just on this past Sunday when they had that open house, For free, they had lines out the door at 8 a.m. And people, I mean, the doors didn't even open until 11:30. They were lined up around the building. They were expecting maybe 2 or 3,000. They had 8,850. And they were losing their minds on a Sunday midday when a lot of people were watching NFL. Some people still at church. They were surprised. And a lot of them bought a bunch of tickets afterwards for the regular season. They've had season ticket sales through the roof. So there's a lot of anticipation on what Porzingis and Luka might do as far as maybe sneaking into the playoffs.
Yeah, taking over the league, you know, becoming one of the star attractions of the league as, you know, they were set to be on ESPN last night. Chris, I don't think we've talked to you much about Porzingis. What do you think he's going to be? You know, are we looking at an instant return to the type of player that he was with the Knicks before injury?
I don't want to put any pressure on him, but what I saw Sunday, and I was telling this to Mike, and now this is against the Mavericks themselves. This wasn't against another team. He's more muscular, and you know he's already called the unicorn. He was doing Kevin Durant stuff. Now, mind you, he's not Kevin Durant. Mm. Kevin Durant nicknamed him the unicorn. But for somebody 7'3" to do a step back three, to dribble between his legs, to power to the basket, block shots, I'm like, this is just, wait a minute here. And yeah. I'm not saying he's going to beat Kevin Durant, but he was an all-star for the Knicks before he got hurt.
Yeah, and I think he could be an all-star again. You know, I was looking at the bigs in the West, and last year it was Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis, Jokic and LaMarcus Aldridge.
It's the guards where it's almost impossible to make the all-star team.
Yeah.
Now, you know, last night, I want to just talk real quick about NBA basketball, but just Steven Adams is now shooting threes.
And I know it was something? Preseason.
So I'm just wondering, is there going to be a human being 10 years from now in the NBA? Maybe less than that. Maybe 3 years from now in the Are there going to be human beings who don't shoot a three-point shot?
You know, it's a great question. I think more and more there might be a couple of freaks like a Rudy Gobert, but you better do something like patrolling the paint or, you know.
It's just amazing to me. Like, guys that are just, like, everybody has to be able to shoot a three. Hey, or it's like
Boban
you can't be
shot
on the
up
court.
A three last night.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we kind of sold big men short for the longest time. Like, oh, you're a big man. You're not going to be able to do this very well. You might as well just stay down there in the paint where it's going to be easier to score. And as time has gone on, you know, now we're to a point. We're going to talk about this at 3 o'clock. Now the Mavericks are like, hey, we got to space the court deeper. So we're going to they got lines on the court down there at their practice facility. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. The other things I'm looking forward to, though, with this Mavericks team, how good is Jalen Brunson going to be? Chris, who is going to be the Mavericks' third best player, and where's Brunson fit in that pecking order?
Right now, on paper, they have DeLon Wright, the guard they traded for from Memphis. I mean, he's a really good three-point shooter. I'm thinking that Carlisle's going to trust Jalen Brunson more, though. And he's already said that Luka is the point guard. Last year at this time, Carlisle was like, well, you know, he's a big, and I'm not going to say what he's going to do. He was basically saying he was protecting Luka and maybe Dennis Smith Jr. Right now, I'm truly thinking that Jalen Brunson, he's got the basketball IQ. He came out as a senior. He was a captain. He was won two championships, the national championships. Carlisle trusts him. But not only that, he's played with Luka. DeLon Wright's got more talent, and he's taller, and I think he shoots a better three. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm thinking the third best player right now, forget the contract, is Tim Hardaway Jr. Because Tim Hardaway Jr. is a really good player.
Yeah, maybe not efficient. Maybe he gets slided a little bit too much. But I think he's got the tremendous potential to take advantage of the space that's going to be over there opposite the pick and roll.
I think what I'm hoping is Jalen Brunson is our Derek Fisher to our Kobe, who is Luka Doncic.
Good analogy.
And then I know Shaq, there's nothing like Shaq. In fact, I saw highlights of Shaq the other night. My gosh, in his prime. Like, I know Damian Lillard and them had fun rap battling against each other.
He got a new one, too, by the way.
If Lillard ever went back and watched Shaq in his prime.
Most dominant.
And look, I am Kobe biased in a bad way because I'm not a Kobe fan. If you start watching the games when Kobe was young, and he was a great player, that was Shaq's team.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No human being could. That's the most. I don't know what to say. Dominant human being in sports ever when it came to physical prowess. There's never been a human being in football, baseball, basketball, hockey. There's never been a human being like Shaquille O'Neal.
Can you imagine if he came up now what he might have been able to do? Because he was a guy that liked to do point guard type stuff.
And
he was even doing that into high school and stuff.
Yeah, so Porzingis will be our Shaq, I guess, you know, in a way different way, in a 2019-2020 way, and I'm hoping that we get our Derek Fisher out of Jalen.
Nobody's ever going to be that dominant again as he was in that stretch from about 2001, or maybe it started in 99 or something to about 2005 or so. He was incredible, and that was his team. And I would say if I had to pick any player from any era to try to win the championship, I wouldn't be doing LeBron or Jordan or anybody else. I'd be with Shaquille O'Neal.
In prime,
That guy was unbelievable.
By the way, in his latest line against his battle with Dame, he said, "I'm the Lord of the Rings, and you Gollum."
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, so is that the end of it then?
Well, I don't know. Does Dame come back with another one?
What does Shaq call it? The second round knockout?
The second round knockout.
It was not a knockout.
I know. Because he's going old school style.
So, hey, you know.
But some of the lyrics were clever.
Had some good punchlines.
Yeah, the first one was real close, back and forth, but the second one.
So was the stronger move from Lillard then just to back away?
Oh, Lillard won it all.
Yeah, right now you should back away, but Lillard's feeling froggy, man.
Okay, so they're going to host the Bucks, the Mavs will Friday, and I bet it's going to be a pretty awesome atmosphere over there at the AAC.
Giannis.
I mean, so that should be a lot of fun, and I know MFFLs cannot wait. Okay, what do you think of what Brian Broaddus told us yesterday about Dak Prescott? He said, well, I tried to warn you guys, this is what happens if you got to have your quarterback throwing 40-plus times.
I think we're in between that. I don't think that he's going to turn the ball over possibly five times if we throw it 45 times, but I do believe that he is not that elite that we can ask him to throw the ball 40 to 45 times and expect a non-turnover type of game.
So what's so different about it as compared to 35 throws? What's so extra about that 10 throws? You know, because he's been a guy whose interception totals haven't been big when it goes to, like, interceptions per attempt. Like, yeah. You don't even have to go counting numbers and say, well, he doesn't have that many attempts. I just don't understand why those additional 10 attempts are so much more risky.
Go ahead, Chris. I have a theory. The theory is, since he's throwing the ball downfield more and the wide receivers are in stride trying to get the yak, they're not doing curl routes as much. And there's some stat where he's got a high number of picks that were tipped. In other words, he might not be throwing them at exactly where the receiver needs to catch them, where they're in stride, because, you know, he's not that accurate as a
quarterback. So you have a receiver on the move going away from a tipped ball?
Exactly. So his first year, remember his first year when he went 13-3, he only had four picks the entire year.
I could
year.
See that. Maybe, you know, not the volume of attempts, but the type of attempts.
Exactly. That's
my
point.
And to your point, I'll say this. When I rewatched the game again, he has Ezekiel Elliott open a lot of times for 3 yards. A lot of times Zeke is wide open where there's a linebacker 7 to 8 yards away. Now, as soon as he says, I'm going to check it down, the linebacker starts closing. So by the time Zeke catches the ball, that guy's going to be 2 yards away and Zeke has to make that guy miss, or it's just a 3 yard gain. He refuses to check down the ball this year. So if we're going to throw the ball, to me, I somewhat agree a little bit more with Broadus, is if we're going to throw the ball 45 times, you got to check down the ball 10 times. It doesn't have to be every time to the running back, but about 7 times to the running back and 3 times to a tight end or something. But he's not really trying to check down. He's really trying to force it 10-plus yards down the field on a lot of throws, which, you know, those numbers can tell different stories. It's like, yes, you see how many per attempt, how many yards we're getting? Yes, but there's a lot of risk in almost every time you throw the ball, you have to throw it 10-plus yards, it seems like, with this Cowboys' new offense. And so I'm okay with you throwing 40 to 45 times. You need to check it down a lot more than you're checking it down, though.
Yeah, and I thought that's kind of the offense we were going to get, something where you're spreading them out horizontally and throwing it closer to the line of scrimmage with a lot of misdirections, and here comes this guy back, and but instead, it's kind of that, but also North Turner's. Hey, we're going to get back there and rip it down the field and into windows.
And his anticipation has gotten better. So don't get me wrong. Dak's anticipation in the NFL has gotten better. But he has to have superior anticipation because he doesn't have Pat Mahomes' arm. You know, he doesn't have the premium arm in the NFL. He's probably average at best with arm strength, which means he has to anticipate more because his ball takes longer to get to places than other players. That's more intercept prone because the ball hangs in the air more for him. And like I've said this, and I talked to somebody and they're like, you know, take it for what it's worth. It's my opinion. When he fades backwards, when he gets a little bit pressure in his face, and I really like the game that we lost 12-10 because I thought he stepped into it the way Troy Aikman did and said, screw it, I'm going to take the hit, but I'm stepping into this throw. I have to because my arm isn't good enough to fade back. This last game, he faded back on a lot of passes. He's like, nope, not stepping into it. He doesn't have the arm strength to go backwards and throw the ball forward.
You're absolutely right about
that, so that is now giving you more opportunity for the ball to stay up there for linebackers, defensive backs to possibly take the ball away from us.
Well, the good news is Kitna's here this year. So Kitna's going to jump him on that. He's going to make sure he's back on his feet again.
All right, great stuff there. And then it's a Game 5 hump day in Major League Baseball. You pumped for this or what, dude?
I'm really excited about this. I think this is great, as I talked about it yesterday, that you really have no competition. Now, here in Dallas, you do. You have Luka and Porzingis at 6 p.m. on Fox Sports Southwest, and that's awesome. But really, for the game of baseball, it does not need to go up against college or professional football. And tonight you get 2 Game 5 starting at 4 o'clock and then 7:30 tonight in Strasburg and Bueller. I mean, you're looking at two of the best pitchers in the National League going against each other. So really excited. And then you get another one on Thursday night. They are going to be going up against Thursday night football, but to get 3 Game 5s for Major League Baseball, that helps them out financially.
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting tomorrow with the Astros, 107-win team, possibly. Man. You know, being out in the divisional round, I know that would be extra delicious for quite a few Rangers fans. Okay, tomorrow, Flagtober rolls on. We'll be at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar located off 635 in Irving at 3165 Regent Boulevard. And they actually brought us up some lunch. We were enjoying all of their amazing Cajun offerings. This place is spectacular. So tomorrow at Walk-On's, the Irving location there on Regent Boulevard, to pick up your G-Bag Nation flag. Yeah, and we do have a winning time coming up. Your chance to win $1,000 will be around here before too long.
Hey, hey.
Okay, Art Briles is already in trouble at Mount Vernon. We'll give you the update there. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. We got the G-Bag of the day here coming up in about 7 or 8 minutes. And yeah, we're going to be at Walk-On's Bistro and Bar, 635 at Irving tomorrow off of Regent Boulevard there. And we look forward to having you drop on by, pick up a G-Bag Nation flag. Segments brought to you by Chamberlain Steak and Chop House, by Classic Chevrolet, and by the Frankels. If you're hurting an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel at 214-333-3333. Frankel & Frankel, official lawyers of the Tolo Principal Office, Dallas, Texas, there at frankelfirm.com. Okay, pardon me. Had to clear the throat real quick there. Utilize the cough button.
Got a frog down there?
Yeah, allergy situation. It's been going on for a week or so. I think I have a stretch of not getting sick going for 15 straight months.
Oh.
And I was like, does this count? Does allergies count as getting sick? It sure does feel like it, but, you know, I don't have any fever or body aches or anything like that. But, man, the sinuses and the coughing just driving me nuts.
Well, guess what? A cold front's coming through. They say it's going to be hot tomorrow, and then Friday it's just going to rain and storm and be cold. And then the weekend's going to be beautiful. So watch out for Friday.
Okay. Well, how about the prepared sports content here for you? Yeah. Art Briles at Mount Vernon, they're 5-0, but there is a controversy.
Dun, dun, dun.
And this one's weird to me because when it comes to the borders and everything in high school sports, I get it. You don't want kids playing in a district or close to a school they're not allowed to. But if you want to pick up your family and move across the country to play for a coach, hey, that counts, you know?
Yeah.
But the deal is two brothers, they're a quarterback and running back, ruled ineligible by a subcommittee of superintendents down there in the Mount Vernon area. They moved to Mount Vernon right before the season started. They're from Colorado. I saw a reporter down there tweeting about it. A gentleman named Dan Solomon said these out-of-state kids were the answer to the biggest problem Briles had coming in. The big kids were short and the tall kids were skinny. Mount Vernon got out to a 5-0 start with a handful of kids who arrived in Mount Vernon after Briles got there and are starting for the team. To make it even more of a story, the two players who apparently moved with their family to Mount Vernon from Colorado, they were actually ruled eligible by a different panel of superintendents back in September. So Art got them cleared.
Oh, he paid off those superintendents. You know what he did. He paid them all off.
They got a different subcommittee together, and now, you know, everybody's watching on. Mount Vernon reportedly plans to appeal the decision, which it described as a sudden reversal of field. That's Dan Solomon in the Texas Monthly reporting that. The brothers ruled ineligible Tuesday are not only the only suspicious cases on the team. Apparently, there's quite a few of them. But I don't know. So the question's there for you guys. I feel like in club sports, you know, it's basically recruiting and players getting taken. And you know what? Yes, it does create a little additional drama, but it gets figured out. You know, and if you want to pick up and go buy a house or lease an apartment across town and you're actually going to settle there and move there, I don't see what the issue should be. Mike, how about you?
Well, I think when you go and coach high school and public school, you can't just be a coach. You can and not care about the kids if you want. I mean, I love Coach Bob Rombach. He's in the Hall of Fame. He was my coach at Duncanville for baseball. We had so many unbelievably great baseball players. He's like, I don't care if you fail. I'm not going to help you with your grades. If you fail, I got another kid that's really good. That's probably a D1 player too. So you can pass or fail. It's up to you. But as soon as you fail, I'm not going to try to get you back on the team. I don't care. But I think in a lot of cases, you got to work hard as a coach to keep your players eligible. And I'm not saying cheat. What I'm saying is you have to get to know the principal, assistant principal,
the teachers,
athletic director, the teachers, and you have to check in on a weekly basis. I know for basketball at Duncanville, Coach McNeely, who's in the Hall of Fame too, he would make us turn in a weekly progress report that we would have to get our teachers every week to tell him what our grades were for that week going into the 6 weeks and them to sign it, and then we have to turn it in. So he would know how close we are to passing or failing, so he could say, I can help. I'll keep you out of school. I'll keep you out of practice for the first 30 minutes. I've talked to that teacher. I want you to go to their classroom from 3:30 to 4 o'clock. They're still going to be here on campus, and they know that you're coming in to get tutoring so you can pass, so you can keep playing on the team. And I don't think Coach Briles, because he's been almost to the highest level, but at the highest level of D1 football, is I don't know how much he really cares about having to do all that work.
Right, but this is just a kid moving from Colorado. You know, before the season started, a couple of kids moved from out of the area, a couple of more kids moved from out of the state. He's essentially stacked his team, probably from his network of recruiting and coaches.
It's tough to do in UIL. It's easy to do in private school.
Yeah.
In public school, this is very tough to get away with. I'm not telling you that Allen doesn't get away with it, or I'm from Duncan. I know Duncanville, Cedar Hill, and DeSoto compete for the best players because you can move within a mile and be in the right district that you want to be in
and
play for the school and the coach that you want to play for. But it does become difficult when you move kids from out of state and stuff like that. Look, there was when I played baseball at Grand Prairie. Kerry Wood never lived in Grand Prairie. Kevin Walker never lived in Grand Prairie. These are both MLB baseball pitchers. I mean, there is a kid that went to Wichita State as their shortstop. Never lived in Grand Prairie.
So I know I hear all these stories, and when you and Jeff and Chris talk about it, I'm like, man, it's kind of like the Wild West.
I was just
wondering if Art Briles is getting singled out here.
I'm sure he somewhat is because he's getting watched with a microscope
got into. He had to be pristine. What happened with these Colorado kids? I don't think it's outrageous. Again, a board approved it. It happens all the time at all the different levels to various degrees. But because he's Art Briles and they knew when they brought him on, fine tooth comb. You can't have anything that looks because district rivals don't want you to win.
Right.
They just don't at any cost. I mean, Art Briles in their minds it's one thing that, okay, his program at Baylor, it's very unethical or whatever, it went down. Just the fact that a college coach who knew all the high schools in Texas anyway, that's a competitive advantage.
And I guess,
let alone the X's and O's. They don't want him to win.
I would say this, Gavin. The only reason we know about this is because Art Briles is the coach.
Exactly.
This is happening at other schools in the Metroplex. It just got kids ineligible, and kids have to either move back to where they came from or they're not going to be eligible for this year. But who cares to write that unless Art Briles is the coach at the school where it happened at?
Yeah, I get that.
Some schools get away with it and are able to get away with it for a while. And then if you hire a guy like Art Briles, it's going to be very tough.
What do you think is the violation? Why is that against the rules? Why not if a kid actually wants to move to your town and play sports for your team?
Because you can load up and be a dominant, and then all of a sudden you're making all this money
for the school. Programs are loading up anyway, aren't they?
Per se, but in high school, it's not like colleges where you got all these donors.
I mean, I want to go play for a good coach.
Well, how about this? I'll throw this out without knowing any knowledge. Do you think the state of Texas public education would have a major problem that I have athletic schools and I have non-athletic schools, and now all the athletes that are going there because, you know, the assistant principal, I know I'm ragging on Kerry Wood here. He's an awesome dude. Kerry Wood couldn't go to college. He didn't even have enough English credits. He didn't have enough credits to graduate high school. But the assistant principal was the baseball coach.
Yep.
And so what would happen here is at our school, you don't have to go to class. We'll just give you fake grades to create an unbelievable program. And then it becomes somewhat, and I know that happens in college. I don't think that happens in high school too much where you actually don't have to go to class. You don't have to perform in school because you do have to pass the 6 weeks play.
Everything Mike is saying is exactly right. The biggest problem in high school, you can't really have the football coaches making three times more than the English teacher or the history teacher when the kids need the education. The sports are supposed to be on the side. You know, it's not supposed to be they're really pro and they're bringing so much to the program. No, they're supposed to be there for education.
And to your point, Chris, and to Gavin's point, this does happen in most states in the United States of America, but at private schools. Duncanville right now is the highest ranked public school in the nation when it comes to football. The three teams ahead of them are all private schools. So for some reason in the state of Texas, Dallas Jesuit has gotten close and they're trying and somehow they get to compete in UIL and not in private school stuff. But in private school, you can do everything you just said. It's just tougher to do it in public school because, like Chris is saying, the coaches start calling and they call up UIL and they try to get the coaches fired and they try to get these kids not to play, and it becomes
the dirty
tougher
business.
And tougher.
All right, it is time now for the G Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all, vote on which one we like the best, and that is the G Bag of the Day. All right, who's our champ, Lucius?
It's still the great Brad Sham. He's on top still, brother. He rips the game officials. He's mad about the flag controversies, we call it.
Throw the second flag there, Coach Redball. And there's a penalty flag.
Well, I'm wondering what that flag was for. Christy.
Yeah, I believe side judge Scott Edwards threw that flag. This is the same official who earlier in the third quarter had come down the sideline to admonish Jason Garrett to move him back. That's when the Packers were in the Cowboys red zone. But the side judge, he was in the far corner of the end zone and literally ran 40 yards to come in.
Garrett took his challenge flag, and I mean slammed it into the ground.
He didn't like the way he threw the red flag?
No.
Bogus. So, fake news. This is absolutely like a baseball argument. And then the guy comes and you're out. And that flag was thrown in retaliation for something Garrett said that
I don't think he liked the way
judge
he
literally
did not
like.
Spiked the flag.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a toss out.
Well,
like it spiked
you
it.
You know, tough, Snowflake.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you didn't like what he said, come on.
I don't know that I've ever seen that before.
No, I don't either. And that's bad officiating, in my opinion. If you throw a flag for 15 yards because you don't like what the coach said to you? No, that is over-officious jerk officiating, in my opinion.
There he is. Sham goes ham. The great Brad Sham, a two-time G-Bag of the Day champion.
Jerk officiating.
I did just look up the Autoflex Leasing fan text. I mean, that sparked a whole bunch of conversation. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look, if you move, I mean, people are like, you dumb it, you know, like, I'm like, I get it. Like, if you really move to Duncanville and you don't keep another address and you just get a fake address so you pay $400 a month for an apartment that you're not even living at, what happens is the other schools start going there and seeing if you're driving home to that apartment.
Yeah.
They see if the parents are coming home from work to that apartment. And when they find out for 3 days nobody's staying at that apartment, they just got a fake address to be in that district to play for that team. So if you really move, you can really play for that team.
Hmm. Okay, who's challenging?
Yeah, he lives at his auntie's house now.
Yeah, right. That's what happens. And you know what happens with a lot of divorced parents is you don't even have to live with that parent, but then you can get in trouble for that too, because if they say, hey, I want to be at my dad's address to go to this school, but you're really not living with your dad, you can get that kid ineligible too for
one
not living
note
at that
on this,
house.
Because they're trying to keep an eye on it, they make the parent show an electric bill.
Yes.
When the first day of school, if you live in that school district. The water bill.
It really comes down to being good. You know, they don't mind if you're losing, kids from out of the area.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, bring your birth certificate to this tournament. I'm like, my kid's 4 foot nothing. He ain't batting third and hitting home runs. They're not going to ask for my kid's birth certificate.
Who's the first challenger, Lucius?
All right, let's say you were getting ready to watch the Joker movie. Would you leave if you heard this?
No. I was already pushing the button.
Okay.
I was already doing it.
The movie's right here.
Bro, me.
Uh oh.
I don't need to see the Joker, not you, bro.
You started running your mouth as soon as you sat down. Now you don't like my reaction, right? I'm gonna see you after this movie.
Uh oh.
Straight up.
Would you stay? Be like, all right, well, you know, I'm about to get a bone out of here.
I think I'd watch. Yeah,
you'll stay?
I might get a fight in the middle of it to enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you thinking
that
over there?
That old boy was sweating bullets waiting for the end of this movie.
Oh, if the guy was talking to me?
I'm talking about you, though. You just observing
just
the situation.
Rows back.
Exactly. Would you stay like, man, is he going to pull out a gun and get the popping up in here? Should I stay?
Oh, I didn't think about that. I did see there was another incident at the Joker movie where a guy was arrested because, you know, he posted a picture holding of, you know, a couple of different firearms and stuff, and obviously that's no fun.
Yeah,
don't
why would
bump
you post
some,
that?
Don't bump somebody's horrible. Chair in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You kick my chair! My man got heated.
Okay,
I would have leaned over, like, when I got some popcorn or something, just leaned over. Hey, man, I'm going to the concession stand. You need anything, just let me know. Sorry about that earlier.
Who else is nominated?
You guys know what a kick post is?
No.
Okay, well,
skateboarding
we're about to learn.
Move?
Well, we're about to learn. KNC Masterpiece, they were talking about Gronk being hired by Fox, and we found out what a kick post was.
And I also don't know what role they're going to have. Are they going to have him on like a, you know, doing the booger mobile? Is that going to be something that they're doing? Or are they going to have him, you know, hanging out on a foul pole just or one of the kick posts. What is it? Oh my God!
The goal post.
The goal post. Are they gonna have them just hanging out by the goal post and just chilling?
Maybe it should be the kick post.
Kick post.
I like kick post. Kick post.
It's what it is.
Yes, it is what it is.
That was the job description of that Bears kicker, Parkey. He was not a field goal kicker. He was a kick post kicker.
Kick post.
Okay, is it our champ, Brad Cham? Is it the Joker, or is it the kick post fail by Corey?
Corey.
Mike. Okay. Lucius.
Mr. Sham.
CA.
I'm going to throw the red flag at Brad Cham.
Okay, by a score of 2-1, he's done it again. Brad Cham is still now a three-time
jerk officiating
of the day champion.
Ah, Southwest Kia is home of the all-new Kia Telluride. That is an 8-passenger SUV. Check it out at southwestkia.com.
Oh, yes, the Red Band trailer preview with KT. I've been getting a kick out of that during the Ben and Skin show. Here he is, Mike Bassick.
Last night, there's no Dirk Nowitzki. I know it's just preseason, but there's been more Dirk Nowitzki than there's been games without Dirk Nowitzki in the Mavericks history.
Wow.
That's how many times Dirk Nowitzki has played
years
for the Dallas Mavericks. It was an unbelievable run. And so it made me want to go back last night and look at what was our world like without Dirk Nowitzki and DFW as we move forward now without Dirk. In his first game, it was February 5th, 1999. The starting lineup was Nash Finley and Dirk along with Sean Bradley and AC Green. Dirk was 0-5, 2-2 from the line for 2 points, 0 rebounds, and 4 assists.
And he had that weird kick on his jumper.
Okay. Yeah. he was not very good.
That and fans was, were mad, too.
I was furious that they drafted him. Paul Pierce was there. I thought Larry Hughes was going to be a good player. I was tired of Chris
Anstey. Well, he was for a while.
I was tired
Everybody
of
thought
Cherokee
he was be
Parks.
Another
I was tired
Chris
of
Anstey.
Eric Montross. Yep. I was tired of just why do we have to draft a dude who's white and has to be tall? They're all horrible at basketball.
Oh, he's
come on, bro.
Galloway used to call it the great white stiff. Oh, I mean, that's what they used to say. Yeah. And they really were mad at Nelly for not posting him up down low. It's like, okay, he's seven foot
tall, buying in the post, Nelly.
Now, I go back to the last game ever where Dirk Nowitzki was not a Dallas Maverick. And that was the last game of the 1998 season. The Lakers win 124-95. The Mavericks finished the season at 20-62. Here was your Dallas Mavericks starting lineup without Dirk Nowitzki. Michael Finley, Hubert Davis, A.C. Green, Eric Riley, and Khalit Reeves.
Yikes.
That was the Dallas Mavericks, and that was a decade worth of Mavericks.
Ugly.
It wasn't just that year. That year, we might have actually had talent on our team the way it went for about a 10-year period there. Other players, Eric Strickland, Sean Respert, Sean Bradley, Bubba Wells, Samaki Walker, Martin Mirisep, and Chris Anstey. Those were your Dallas Mavericks before there was Dirk Nowitzki on the team. Now, that's the Dallas Mavericks. What I thought, to put this in perspective of how long ago it was since Dirk Nowitzki was not part of the Dallas Mavericks, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Chan Gailey. That was the Dallas Cowboys 1998 season. That was the last time Dirk wasn't in this Metroplex playing basketball. Chan Gailey was your head coach. He led the Cowboys to a 10-6 record that year.
Yep.
The starting lineup for your Dallas Cowboys, Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Darryl Johnston, Michael Irvin. We remember some of these guys. It's a long time ago that they played football.
Unbelievable.
You had another wide receiver, which nobody would ever guess. He was 26 years old. Billy Davis was the other starting wide receiver.
Yes, he still lives here.
We had
He got a Super Bowl ring with the Baltimore Ravens, ironically.
David LaFleur, who was a first-round draft pick, who was horrible at football, starting tight end.
Did you know that was Troy's pick?
Yeah.
Troy Aikman picked him.
Larry Allen, Nate Newton, Clay Shiver, Flozell Adams, and Eric Williams was your offensive line when it came to the Dallas Cowboys. Ooh. The last time they played a football game when Dirk wasn't part of this sports in the Metroplex. Your starting defensive team for the Dallas Cowboys when there was no Dirk Nowitzki. Your defensive line, Kavika Pittman, Leon Lett, Chad Hennings, and Greg Ellis.
Hey, there's some talent up there.
Randall Godfrey, Fred Strickland, and Dexter Coakley were the linebackers.
Coakley.
Kevin Smith and Deion Sanders were the cornerbacks. And Darren Woodson and Omar Stoutmeyer were the safeties on that team. That's how long ago it was. When you start looking at, like, these guys, you know what? There's people listening right now that don't know 70% of the players I just named.
They weren't even alive.
Cowboys. Yeah, or they were so young. They were like
22 years old.
Into sports. There's barely internet.
I know. It's amazing how old we're getting. 10-6 with Deion with the triplets. Were you sensing this could be a year still, or had it turned into this isn't as it used to be? This is disappointing.
You knew it was going downhill, and it was kind of panic time for the Dallas Cowboys because now you are 3-4 years away from being that team that could actually win something special.
Yeah, kind of like the Seahawks are now.
This was in the middle of the White House scandal and Michael Irvin on trial. And
that's not
fun. I mean, it was a lot of chaos going on.
Yeah, and it was that's what led them to be like, yeah, here's 2 first-round picks. Let's go get Joey Galloway. I mean, it was like panic. Like, we still have Troy and Emmett and Michael Irvin. Let's just give it all away to see if we can do this one more time because it's not working.
You know what? I have to look it up, but I'm thinking Michael might have been suspended a few games in that season, that 10-6 season, and they made it to the playoffs and lost
that
to
that year.
Carolina.
He did play 15 games. That was 1996. They lost to Kerry Collins. Yeah, I remember that year. 1998, I remember because it's the last time I ever paid for a Dallas Cowboy game, and I said that day I'm never paying for another Dallas Cowboys game. I went to the playoff game that they lost 21-7. To Jake Plummer and the Arizona Cardinals.
It was bad.
And it was cold, and we were pathetic.
They had
never lost
to the Cardinals.
It just didn't seem like they tried very hard. I just
they were old.
They just weren't into playing as hard as football.
What year was
that? 1998.
And what year was this roster you're talking about?
1998. Now, I go to the Texas Rangers. Who was on the Texas Rangers when Dirk Nowitzki was? Well, they were also a division champion.
No.
Just like the Dallas Cowboys were a division champion. But your starting lineup for the Texas Rangers a long time ago.
Juan Gonzalez.
1998, yes. Pudge Rodriguez was catcher. Your infield was Will Clark, Mark McLemore, Kevin Elster, and Fernando Tatis. Tatis now has a son playing in Major League Baseball.
Good names.
Your outfield, Rusty Greer, Tom Goodwin, Juan Gonzalez, and your DH was Lee Stevens. This was a playoff team that won the division. And your pitchers were Rick Helling, Aaron Seeley, John Burkett, Darren Oliver, Esteban Loaiza, and Bobby Witt were your starting pitchers with John Wetland as the closer.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was actually a pretty good time in Dallas for sports. You had the Rangers good. Mavericks were horrible. You had the Cowboys who were hanging on to kind of being a playoff team.
How long had Bobby Witt been in the big leagues by that point?
At least
87 or 88. 10, 12 it was his
years?
Rookie year.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was 34 years old.
Younger than I thought he'd be.
At that point. And then we actually go to the Boomer. Best team in Dallas-Fort Worth at the time. We go to the Dallas Stars, who were your Stanley Cup champions at the time. That's how long ago it was with the players that scored the most points. Mike Modano, Brett Hull, Joe Neuendijk, Yuri Lehtinen, Sergei Zubov, Daryl Sador, and Jamie Langenbrunner were kind of your core players there with Eddie the Eagle, Belfour as the goalie. So that's what was your Dallas Stars, your championship Dallas Stars team at the time. The last time this Metroplex did not have Dirk Nowitzki. Oh. And now I go into pop culture, guys.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. I want to play this. I want to go to music first, and I want to see how quick, possibly, Chris Arnold can get what this song is.
Okay. Which one do you want to go to first?
This is the number one song.
In what year?
The week 98? Before. This is January, late January of 1998. This was the number one song on the pop charts when Dirk Nowitzki was about to hit the floor for the Dallas Mavericks.
I hope I got this right, Mike. I'm just shooting.
Oh, Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
Song? How am I not going to get that? Yeah. That's actually.
Do you know this song?
Yes.
Did she write it for you?
No, she wrote it for the Nutty Professor. that song came from the Nutty Professor soundtrack. Okay. But yeah, every time I think of you or something like that, I don't know.
Together Again by Janet Jackson was the number one song the week before Dirk Nowitzki took the court for
this
the Dallas.
That's from her Velvet Rope album.
Okay.
I love that song.
Now, after we get
That's not from the Nutty Professor, by the way. I was thinking of another song.
Now, after we get past that, we go to the number one movie. And this, honestly, it was the number one movie a couple of weeks before Dirk Nowitzki took the court. And it was the number one movie months in to Dirk Nowitzki's
Titanic.
Career. It was the Titanic.
Oh my.
It was, I was like, geez, you can't even pick like another movie. It just dominated for like 4 months.
Yeah, number one forever.
It was still number one in his first All-Star game.
I don't even know if I didn't look this up, but when I looked at movies and stuff, I was like, Titanic, has there ever been a movie make that long of a run at number
more.
One?
The same director, James Cameron, directed Avatar. Avatar is the only movie that beat it.
Okay. Man,
crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, so it wasn't super weird. I mean, I'm ready. Not that I'm gonna miss Dirk tremendously, but I'm ready for the new era of Dallas Mavericks basketball. But it does feel weird now that there will never be a game. You know, when you go now to the A, it's Dirk will never be there except for when they retire his number, and eventually he might come back like Michael Finley. But.
Did you hear about the silhouette?
Nuh-uh.
They're going to have his image on the three-point arc, favorite spot. There's going to be like a silhouette of Dirk.
Yeah, it looks like the floor has quite a few upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
They are definitely opening up a new era, and perhaps fittingly so in Dirk's first year. But I think he's going to be at some games. I think he's going to be traveling a lot. But it sounds like he wants to go as a fan and watch the games and be around the team.
That's what he was
saying.
Do
you think he'll sit next to Mark Cuban and Michael Finley, or do you think he'll sit up like in a suite?
Here's what's so crazy. Not in a suite. Here's what's so crazy. He's got season tickets. He's had season tickets forever for his wife and kids and family when they come in. So they would be halfway up behind the Mavericks bench. But I don't think he would sit there. I think he would sit next to Cuban. Okay. That's my guess. I know he's not going
to
sit
be
on the bench.
He's got to be very close to the bench, so
right
he can
next
be somewhat
to
protected.
Finley and Cuban.
Yeah. Okay. Coming up next, it's the second hour, and we're actually going to be talking more Mavs with you and how they're planning to take the 3-point shot to the next level this year. Wait till you hear what they have planned.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.